This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. There are several media companies, from giants to startups, offering smart city display solutions, which are, effectively, outdoor totem displays that run local information backed by advertising. But there's only one, Boston-based SUFA, that actively markets a product that runs entirely off of solar power and uses e-paper as the display canvas. The company grew out of MIT and had to start with a bench unit that allowed people to sit and relax in parks and public squares while they charged their phones at the SUFA unit. SUFA evolved into public displays with large format e-paper screens on totems, think very large Kindles, and management software that allows cities to inform and guide city residents and visitors. Unlike many of the smart city projects out there that seem to be smart mainly as a way to win a digital out-of-home ad concession, the local governments that tend to opt in with SUFA are more interested in distributing information and fostering community. They're also attracted to SUFA because the hardware and install costs of a SUFA display are a fraction of the cost of a typical full-color, daylight-readable outdoor LCD display and all the related hardware and construction work needed to put one in. I had a great chat with Sam Ward, who is in charge of building up the roster of cities and companies working with SUFA. Sam, thanks for joining me. Can you give me the rundown on what SUFA is all about and what your role there is?
Yeah, absolutely. So SUFA, we're founded out of the MIT Media Lab here in Cambridge back in 2014. We're a female-founded team, and our hub is in Cambridge, but you know the team's distributed across the country these days. We create the SUFA sign, which is a solar-powered digital sign that is found around the country. Right now, we're in Boston. My role at SUFA, I'm the director of growth. So I manage all things related to bringing on new partners through building our community of city users as well as our advertisers, and then discovering new ways to introduce people to SUFA and the brand.
So if you go to the city of, I don't know, Columbus, Ohio, I'm pulling locations out of my What is the pitch?
So for the city, the pitch for a SUFA sign is really a smart cities kiosk or signage that helps build their communication with constituents. So it's a real-time platform, a CMS they can use, upload content, and link real-time hyper-local content on the digital screens, which we can install with them throughout the city. They're all solar-powered. Super easy to install. It only actually takes 30 minutes to install a SUFA sign. And then after that, we work with them to make sure there's great content on there for the community, whether that's real-time transit, health city updates, which have been very relevant this year. And then also we're able to share interesting pedestrian data insights with the city so they can start measuring the usage of whatever is near the signs that they install, which has been really valuable, again, especially this year.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do the pedestrian insights?
So the pedestrian insights are generated from a sensor, which is placed in all of our signs. And a little bit of fun background about the company, we actually started back in 2014, where we developed a solar-powered charging bench, which also provided those pedestrian insights. So that was something we kept. Yeah, that our founder, Sandra, managed to get President Obama to sit on one with her on the White House lawn. So that really sort of kicked off that product. But the sensor we brought from the bench to the signs, because the cities had great use for that. And it also serves our advertisers as well as a measurement tool. But basically how it works is that it's able to track Wi-Fi that smartphones emit. And then every sign is calibrated. So that gives us a real-time measurement of the Wi-Fi signals that it is picking up within a cone radius of the of the screen.
So this is anonymized and it's not using a camera or anything?
Correct. No camera. It's totally anonymized. So we're very cognizant of the city's needs and, you know, the public's needs for privacy around that sort of thing.
So there's a few companies out there, display manufacturers, specialty display companies, and smart cities companies that have kind of totem style displays, full color LCD, outdoor rated, and everything else that they sell into cities and into media companies to some degree. The distinction with what you guys do is that you're using e-paper, correct?
That's right.
And that effectively means you've got a very, very large Kindle that you're parking out on a sidewalk or a public walkway of some kind.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a 42-inch screen. So we sometimes jokingly say it's the largest Kindle you'll ever see. Obviously, it is able to withstand weather, the outdoors elements, and is solar powered. I think like some of the main differences between SUFA and those other products are, you know, yes, we use e-paper and we're solar powered. And, you know, we're solar because, you know, at the end of the day, our mission as a company is to be smart, social, and sustainable. So there's no electricity needed, obviously, no need to rip up a sidewalk to install the sign. Like I said, it only takes 30 minutes and 4 bolts to install. So cities really like that. It makes the unit economics very favorable. It's pretty inexpensive to produce compared to some of those, you know, flashy competitors with the bright, you know, LCD screens. And the signs can be moved really easily too. So cities love that because if there's construction, it's super easy to just place the super sign somewhere else in the meantime. And with the electronic paper, that is what allows us to keep that power consumption much lower than a typical digital screen. But also at the same time, it's a higher resolution. It looks better. There's no glare. So it's really worked out for the product to have that electronic ink screen.
How do you deal with it at night?
We do have light bars that are part of the sign. The screens are illuminated depending on the time of year, about 16 hours per day. And the light bar comes on at sunset and then the signs go to sleep at night. So between like, again, depending on the year, but between around 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., the signs will go to sleep.
Could you do 24/7 if you needed to with the solar charging that you have?
Yeah, I think we could if we needed to. We'd probably have to do, you know, a few backup battery swaps. I don't think it's something we'd want to do, you know, full time, all signs, 24 hours a day with the current solar powering capabilities that we have now. Also with our, you know, pedestrian measurement, you know, there's not a lot of people walking by in the very early hours of the morning. So we made the call to let the signs go to sleep at night.
Right. Yeah. I was mostly curious because if you were doing things like showing transit times and so on, obviously the buses are still running at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very true. If there was like, for example, a public emergency too, we can make special calls, you know, for one-offs if we need to leave the signs running for longer.
I have this sort of mixed opinion of the whole smart cities display movement because I've seen a number of media companies produce display totems that are clearly just digital ad posters with some sort of smart city veneer to them that says, hey, this is smart and this is special and you should have this too. But those things would not exist were it not for the fact that they're there to sell advertising. Is what you do different?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really interesting question because we really believe that if you're creating some sort of smart kiosk that is touting itself as a, you know, innovative for the city, for the constituents, it really should be. And if it is effective in that way, it's going to be a win for everyone, for the city, for the actual people walking by, and also for the advertisers that are on the screen. Because if you can create a habit of people knowing that they can come to that kiosk, or in our case, the SUFA signs, to find relevant real-time information, transit, weather, events, city communication, then they're going to pay more attention to that device, you know, as they go about their daily journey. And for SUFA, you know, we actually used to have a different screen layout, which maybe was more in that world of, you know, we have a platform and most of it was advertising. And we, you know, we had a lot of long discussions about the product and ultimately changed our screen to have what we call the news feed or engagement layout that, that we currently run, which features a prominent advertisement, but also has a lot of local relevant content on the screen at all times. So it's able to serve everyone's needs while being, you know, the best version of itself for the pedestrian.
Yeah, from what I've seen of some of the images, it kind of feels like a newspaper, if you remember those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the electronic ink is certainly helping there, especially when you see one in person. It really is like electronic ink is a little bit uncanny because we're not used to seeing it on at that scale. So it's really pretty eye-catching in person. And yeah, it does look a lot like a newspaper. When it refreshes, it sort of does, it has a really interesting electronic paper, has an interesting way that it refreshes the screen. It kind of like, it almost looks like a like an etch-a-sketch or like almost like a, I don't want to say glitch really, because it's not a negative thing, but it sort of refreshes in this really interesting way that still creates that movement that's eye-catching while still looking like paper. So it's really interesting in person.
Yeah, it kind of freaks out for a split second and then it comes back.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I've been intrigued by that. Does it matter to brand advertisers that you're primarily dealing in monochrome? Like, will they place ads when they know it's only in black and white?
Yeah, we found that people are, you know, have a normal amount of, you know, I guess confusion or maybe hesitation that you would have with any sort of unique media placement. It's not straightforward color, bus shelter, or billboard. There's definitely a level of education involved when you're creating a product that's unfamiliar to an advertiser. But that's also a benefit because it's unfamiliar to the pedestrian as well. And in that way, it's eye-catching, harder to ignore. And then also with the monochrome, like we're able to put signs in great locations because we abide by different city laws that are created to sort of stop distracted driving, right? Our signs are for pedestrians. They're pedestrian-centric. We don't measure the car impressions. So we're able to place the signs in better locations because of that. And then also, again, with the higher quality screen display that you get with electronic ink, a lot of advertisers love that, especially for really crisp, like vector images or photography, looks really amazing on the signs. And then finally, with the monochrome, the signs are informational. It's almost like native advertising to that neighborhood. If you're going to advertise on, let's say, like the Somerville, Massachusetts SUFA signs, you know that people are going to, you know, have a certain level of like authenticity and trust already built in by advertising on the SUFA sign screen in the SUFA sign screen format, because they're just used to seeing good, interesting local information already in that place. So through those, you know, things, we're able to, you know, bring people around on the monochrome. But we also do sell, you know, static platform branding of the signs themselves. So if we have an advertiser who's like, no, I'm, you know, my brand is green, I really need green, we can do, you know, different products where like they can wrap the signs with their brand. And then also do digital ads that are maybe more informational at the same time. So you still get that branding punch, but with the real-time screen content.
E-Ink in particular does have some versions of its product that supports color. Have you gone down that path?
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that we keep an eye on. We work really closely with E Ink, the company itself, which is also a company that was founded out of MIT. Yep. They've come by. We've seen the color screens. Right now, they're not quite stable enough for outdoor use, at least not in the exact way that we would use them with SUFA. But I do believe that at some point, you know, within the next few years, we'll definitely have a version of the SUFA sign, which has some color capabilities on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And for management and for things like the local news feeds and so on, do you provide the software for that and the service to kind of feed that stuff in, or just a CMS platform, and then your clients use it from there?
We do. We've built our own CMS in-house here. So that's how we run the ads on the screens. It's how we are able to deliver the advertisements on a CPM basis. So, first off, for the advertisers, we're able to actually deliver based on how many people are walking by and pace towards a goal throughout the end of the month, which are advertisers love. And then in terms of our city clients, we build custom APIs depending on what they want on their screens. Obviously we can connect with, the big companies like the Eventbrite to show, what's local, what's happening. We pull from, I think we use like Google News as our API, and we pull relevant, news content that has the name of that neighborhood in the titles of the articles. So different things like that, depending on what we want to show in that particular neighborhood, where we always try to make the content on the sign as relevant as possible for where it's showing up.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Can you describe a good representative deployment that you have out there with a city?
Yeah, I think one of my, favorite, or I think most impactful deployments that we did recently was with the city of Revere over this past summer. And their main reason for wanting to bring SUFA signs to their community was for communications around COVID, and also bilingual communications, which is really important. So for them, when we launched the signs, we launched and they, like, I think I saw content coming in from them this morning. They're really good about keeping it up to date. But they launched and had pretty big pool of content that regarding health updates, testing, in all different types of languages. Which was great. And then that was paired with real-time transit, since we were putting the signs around some highly trafficked transit locations. We've been running polls, which have been very great for engaging the community in a way that's like really simple for pedestrians to engage with their signs, which is you can ask a poll question. Sometimes we work with the city to choose something that they're curious about, like, what would you like to see brought to Revere, for example? And then people can actually text in their answers to that poll question. So that's sort of like when all the pieces of the screen are working in harmony like that, that's when you get a really, really experience for everyone, for the city, for the pedestrian, and also for the advertiser who may want to reach that particular neighborhood.
Right. They're not interactive screens, directly interactive. They're interactive because they can then do something else using their phone or whatever, right?
That's correct. Yes. They are not touch screen, although people try to touch them a lot because they're used to the Kindle.
Yeah. Well, I guess virtually every screen you see out there, you now assume you can touch it and do something with it. And it's not always the case.
Right. Yeah, we've always had a the interactivity is sort of how you can be on your phone and interact with it. With the polling questions, we have this texting interactivity, which has been really successful for getting more pedestrians engaged. But we've also always had, we have a self-service platform called SufaTalk, which is where, mostly it's used for local businesses who want to post to SufaSigns in their community. And we have self-service plans, they can pay for a monthly plan and then post the signs. But community members and community groups can also sign up and post to SufaSigns in their neighborhood for free. So we've always had that functionality to involve the community more if they're, open and want to create content. I think it's good to have sort of both options, which is, if you just want to engage with the sign, you can quickly text an answer into the poll. You don't need to sign up for anything. But if you want to have a longer term engagement, maybe you have a community group that throws, free local events, you can sign up for a SufaTalk and actually post to the signs yourself as well.
Do you find when you're talking to different municipal governments that you have more success with those who are motivated to find new ways to disseminate community information versus those municipal governments who are motivated by finding incremental advertising revenue through media concessions?
Yeah, that's a good question. We definitely have found the most success with governments that are looking for a communications device or that want to use the sign for wayfinding because they can brand the vinyl on the sign as well. So that has been, a big value add for them. But I would say the rev share isn't totally off the table, though. That's definitely something that people care about and is part of the process of selling signs into a city, because we do rev shares with our city partners. But I think in order of importance, it really is the communications piece kind of comes before that with SUFA instead of your traditional out of home platform.
And if it's a smart city kiosk kind of display, like the ones that are on the streets of New York, I'm blanking on the name of the company, but those things are expensive. And then you've got all the infrastructure costs to, as you said earlier, to trench and get power out to wherever the display is going to be and do all those other things. How do costs compare between the two?
We are significantly less expensive for cities to install and start using their SufaSigns. That was a big part of developing the product itself. That was always a really big consideration, was building something that is flexible and movable, solar powered, easy to install. And I don't have the exact number on hand, but compared to some of our competitors, we're 1/10 of the cost of that Wow. piece of technology.
And do you have customers who go down your path primarily on a cost basis, and they see what they're doing as making a reasonable compromise, or do they kind of look at what they want to do and realize, hey, e-paper, monochrome, doesn't really matter. It does the job that we want it to do.
It's more of the latter. I mean, I think cost is always a consideration, but
sure.
I think a lot of our city clients, they're using SUFA as a completely different tool. It's not really an out-of-home platform for them. Like, that's a nice like value add. It's like, oh, hey, like local businesses can advertise here. Regional businesses will get a rev share. But, at the end of the day, they're trying to buy a communications platform, a wayfinding tool, a pedestrian data tool. It sort of hits all those marks for them. And then, oh, hey, at the end of the day, you'll also get a rev share. So that's nice mm-hmm. too.
When you sign up with SUFA, are you getting the software and support and everything else in a one-time buy, or do you buy the hardware and then you pay a monthly to have it supported?
So for cities, we have different types of ways of working depending on what the needs of the city are. I'd say the most traditional is co-investing in a sign and paying some part of the upfront cost, but then using the rev share to either pay off the rest of the sign or maybe, you know, we have different situations with different cities. In some cases, mm-hmm. the signs we actually install without cost. If it's in an area where we know there's going to be a lot of advertising interest, we can make the argument that the rev share will pay for the sign itself. Or sometimes we enter into neighborhoods with a sponsor who is wrapping the signs in their brand, really cares about that neighborhood, and is sponsoring the signs to bring them there so that the city doesn't have to pay at any fees at all. And then support and maintenance is ongoing for the city. Again, different plans, but most of the time that is at no cost to the city itself.
Okay. So you're flexible and kind of adapt according to the opportunity and the circumstances.
Yeah, it really depends on where the city is, what the advertising and revenue opportunity is. But we figure out what works for every city. We always want to help people bring super signs to their communities in any way that we can. So it's definitely case by case.
And do you find you're getting inbound, or do you have to go out and evangelize to generate the interest in SUFA?
I think a little bit of both. For cities, our branding is really strong from those bench days. The team definitely did a lot of events early on and also had a lot of press back in 2014, 2015 when we launched the bench product. And that, you know, I'm a big proponent of top of funnel and brand advertising, obviously. And that's worked really, really well for us, was building that brand early on. So we see a lot of inbound interest from cities. We also have benches all over the world. So people see the benches and get curious about what SUFA is and discover the signs themselves. But we also have a city growth team who are constantly reaching out to new cities who we think would be a great fit or could see a benefit from any of the different, you know, values that the signs bring. So that's kind of on the city side. With new advertisers, I'd say it's definitely a lot more outbound as we try to grow the SUFA brand just in the out-of-home space. We definitely came into the market more as like a smart cities tool. We're very familiar with that side of things. But now we're really working hard to grow our brand in the out of home space and make more connections there too.
I assume that there's a lot of value in expending the time to develop really great creative that looks good in black and white, because you could imagine all kinds of creative that somebody just tries to save a file as black and white and it looks like crap, versus I always think of this company in Slovenia called VisionAct. Great little company, but they're fabulous at designing for that medium. Like all their little displays look great in black and white.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely a technique to it. And we provide design services to all of our clients as part of our campaigns. Because that's great to have. And I think it makes the campaigns better. I think it makes the creative look better. A lot of the times it's as simple as keeping the messaging straightforward. I always say to think about the context and keep it authentic for who you're trying to reach, which neighborhoods you're in. If you can, like calling out the actual neighborhood that you're in or the city that you're in, making the message relevant, but then also using high contrast, vector images, like very simple language, keeping things big and bold. So your typical, you know, out of home best practices, just with that extra element of like, let's make sure this looks amazing in black and white as well.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about cities, but do you sell into other verticals like campus and workplace?
We focus mainly on cities. We also work with private commercial real estate as well. So for example, for anyone who's familiar with the Boston area, we work very closely with WS Development, who developed the Seaport area in Boston. So we have different relationships, but mainly across cities and then private landowners. I know we've had conversations with colleges in the past, but that hasn't been a main focus of the product, at least not up to date.
Okay. So for something like the Seaport development, you've got a property developer owner who wants to have signs that kind of guide people, provide wayfinding, provide information on what's going on in this development?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge tenant support for them. So the wayfinding is more about like, oh, here's a directory of all of these like amazing stores that are in the area. And, these real estate areas that are developing across cities, they're really trying to build their own brand, like building the brand of the Seaport in Boston. Like, what does, they have their own events. They're always trying to get more people to the area to support their tenants. So SufaSigns work really well in that capacity.
Do you have a handle on the content that really seems to hit with people?
I always say when I'm onboarding a new advertiser, I say to keep things contextual, authentic, and relatable, really, for the people that are walking by. Our signs are pedestrian centric. They are part of the fabric of the neighborhood. We call them the neighborhood news feeds. So that's always the best practice for advertisers with the SUFA signs. And we know this because we have some measurement capabilities with different campaigns, whether people have, texting calls to action, QR codes, or if we're doing something more advanced, like a study using mobile data and some other partners. And then we also do a lot of field testing for our clients. We'll actually send someone from our team out into the neighborhood to interview passerby about what they think about an ad. And people love things that are contextual to that neighborhood, that make sense for them, that have useful, relevant information. So it's really all about that neighborhood authenticity, at least with SufaSign content. But I think you'd get pretty similar feedback on any sort of out of home platform. People want to see stuff that's relevant to them.
Yeah, and just shoveling news feeds that you can see in 1,000 other places doesn't make a lot of sense, but being hyper local does.
Right, exactly. We had someone who was doing some brand work with us, and he said something that stuck out to me. And he was like, people with the SUFA signs, they don't want to see the New York Times. They want to see like the Somerville Scout or whatever like the Gazette is of right. that particular small neighborhood. Like, that's really what they're there for.
So what might we see out of SUFA in 2021?
We have a lot of aggressive plans for expansion with our city growth team. So we're always talking to a number of new cities across the country. We have a pretty heavy focus on the East Coast right now, but we also have a rep working in California. And I believe as of this morning, we have a new rep who's going to be working out of Austin, Texas, which is really exciting. So really trying to expand the network across the country. Which will be amazing, both from a city perspective, really building up the community. It'll allow us to develop new products with all of these new cities who have SUFA signs in their neighborhoods. And then also for our advertisers, we've traditionally worked with, a lot of regional brands or national brands that have a very hyper-local campaign or focus in one of our current networks. But once we're national, it will enable us to really work with more national brands who want to speak in a hyper-local way, but have a national media strategy. So that'll be pretty exciting as well.
All right, Sam, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.